Welcome to the teaching ministry of Magnolias First. For more information, visit www.magnoliasfirst.org.
I bet you didn't know you were coming to science class this morning. Well, good morning, First Family. I'm excited to be back with you again. And yes, I was just over there baptizing people. I had to perform a quick change, and I'm here, and I'm excited to teach y'all again this week. If you weren't with us last week, I encourage you to go back and listen to that my sermon on our church website, because it really lays the foundation for this entire series. Last week, we talked about how we must develop God's frame of reference in every area of our lives. My big idea was this, is that God's perspective brings action. And we looked at a story in Numbers 13 where Moses sent in 12 spies to the promised land, the land that God had promised God's chosen people when he rescued them out of Egypt in slavery. And they had the task of going and checking out the land, just surveying it and seeing what it had to offer. And really, it was the test to see, was this land really flowing with milk and honey? Was it the land that God said he would give us? And so the spies did that very thing, and they brought back a report that the land was perfect. They brought back the report that the land was exactly the way that God had promised them, and he had proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that God himself could be trusted. But in the eyes of the spies, they saw the land as being perfect, but they also saw that the land was inhabited by giants and well-fortified cities. And in the moment, they acted out of fear, and they didn't trust in God. They didn't have God's frame of reference. And so they were afraid. Even though they had seen God part the Red Sea, even though they had seen God rescue them from Egypt with the 10 plagues, they still didn't think he was powerful enough to take on these giants. But there was a young man named Caleb in the group that had a different perspective. He spoke up and said this. He says, "Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it." See, Caleb had the perspective that God could be trusted. He had the perspective that God was big enough to take care of their situation. But unfortunately, the rest of the spies' voices were louder than Caleb's, and they didn't listen to his advice. They didn't trust God. They didn't have his perspective, which led them to operate out of fear. And today I want to talk about that idea of discouragement. And I want to answer a few questions like this. Like, what do we do when we look at our lives and nothing makes sense? What do we do when we find ourselves in a situation that's not going the way that we planned or ever wished it would go? How do we react and how do we respond when we find out people are talking about us behind our backs and spreading rumors about us? How do we respond when we have a sickness or a pain or maybe even a sin in our lives that we keep asking God to take away and he just simply doesn't? How do we respond to discouragement? Let's pray. Lord, I just want to come to you right now and just thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for all those that are in here today. Thank you for the baptisms and for the Resonate band leading us this morning. God, I pray that more than anything, you would just come and you would meet with us right now. That you would use my words, Lord, to open up minds and open up hearts, God, that we could figure out how to deal and handle with discouragement, because we're all going to face it. Lord, and I know that firsthand, because it seems that every time you have me teach, it's you teaching me, God, and this week has been discouraging, and it's been hard. Lord, and I need you to show up and be stronger than me. Your son's name we pray. Amen. So I don't exactly know when it happened, but something very devastating has happened in the life of the Christ follower. We have got it in our minds somewhere along the way that following Christ is supposed to be easy. And we think that every time something bad happens to us, it's God punishing us or something like that. But the reality is, if we look at the scriptures, the Bible guarantees suffering and trials. In fact, Jesus said as he was on his way to the cross to be crucified for our sins, he told his disciples, "You will suffer just like I did." And he uses this phrase, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." He said, "You will suffer. In this world, you'll find trials, you'll find troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." See, the truth is that as Christ followers, we are going to face trials. It's not a if, it's a when. And we will face discouragement. But the truth is, where the rubber hits the road, or meets the road, whatever way you like to say that, it's how we choose to respond when trials come. And how we respond when trials come is completely dependent upon our frame of reference. See, Eric and I, we struggle with this all the time being parents. And I wish I could say that we're perfect parents and we never mess up. But honestly, as y'all already know, parenting is hard. It is hard. It is the hardest thing that we've ever done. And we have three little girls that are amazing, but they're discouraging at the same time. And a lot of times we operate out of fear and anger and discouragement when a situation doesn't go our way. And we do that because we're focused on the moment and not the plan that God has for our children's lives. And to make matters worse, my daughter Everly, she is 100% me. And if you had the privilege of knowing me growing up in this church, you know exactly what I mean. She's hard-headed. She's stubborn. She does what she wants to do and doesn't listen to anyone. And she's very destructive. And everyone's laughing, like, yep, that was you, Jeff. How are you on that stage? I don't know. It's because of God. Which the truth is that life is hard. And unless we have the right frame of reference, we'll never make it out alive. Which brings me to my big idea for today. Trials are a promise. Discouragement is a choice. See, if we understand that we know that trials are a certainty in the life of the Christ follower, then we are in a position to make a choice. The position to choose whether or not we're going to let this discouragement upset us or push us to God. Because in the moment when discouragement comes, we have the power to say something very, very important. We have the power to say, God, I trust you. I don't get it. I don't understand, but I trust you. See, here's what we know to be true is that God's plan for us doesn't change even when we're discouraged by people or circumstances. See, we have it in our mind that when discouragement comes, that's God punishing us. In fact, when discouragements come, when trials come, that is an opportunity that God has put in our life to teach us something. And we want to avoid it, but God wants to use it. President Abraham Lincoln had a famous quote on discouragement that I really love. And it was this, it says, let no feeling of discouragement prey upon you, and in the end, you are sure to succeed. See, we just had science class a second ago, now we're going to have history class. So here's a couple facts from President Lincoln's life. If you didn't know, he was a man that overcame a lot of adversity. In 1816, his family was forced to leave their childhood home, and he had to go to work to support them. In 1831, he failed at his first business attempt. In 1832, he ran for state legislature, and he lost. In 1835, he was engaged to marry his childhood sweetheart, and she suddenly died, and he was heartbroken, which led in 1836, he had a total nervous breakdown and was in bed for 6 months. In 1838, he sought to become speaker of the state legislature, and he lost. You kind of see where this is heading. In 1840, he sought to become an elector, and he lost. In 1843, he ran for Congress, and he lost. In 1854, and again in 1858, he ran for U.S. state senator, and he lost both times. See, if anyone in human history has the opportunity to give in to discouragement and say, I'm done, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do this. If anyone had the chance to give up, it was Lincoln. But he didn't. He didn't give in to that discouragement, so much so that in 1860, he became president of the United States of America. And even to this day, many look back on Lincoln as one of our country's greatest presidents because of his resolve, his not backing down the things that he believed in. So much so that he was very instrumental in abolishing slavery. Just imagine if Lincoln gave up. Just imagine where our country would be right now if Lincoln said, no, this is too hard. This is just too hard. But that's not what he did. And so the question is how? How did he overcome discouragement? How did he overcome these trials and troubles of his life when he was younger? I believe it was because of his relationship with Christ. But also, I believe that he looked at the discouragement in his life, and we can know this to be true by the quote I read earlier, that discouragement was a tool that God can use. Discouragement is a tool God can use for his glory. Discouragement isn't pointless. Trials aren't pointless. They're for a purpose, and Lincoln knew that. I want to talk about another hero of the faith in Paul. If you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to jump to 2 Corinthians 12, and I want to pick it up in verse 7 of a story that many of us know well, but I want to look at it from a different angle this morning. This is what it says. It says, "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." See, Paul was in a very unique place. If we look through the Bible and we look at his missionary journeys, he was used in some mighty amazing ways in his ministry to the early church. And if we look through those same stories, we can very clearly see that Paul had a proper frame of reference in God. He knew and believed that God could be trusted, and he walked out in that. He believed it, and then he walked out in it and did it. But the truth is that even with all that he had seen, he still had a thorn in his flesh. Even though Paul was such a mighty biblical figure, and we look at him today as, man, that is someone I want to be like, he still had discouragement in his life. And we don't exactly know what the thorn in his flesh was, but some believe it was some kind of optical issue. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on why it was there. I don't know if you caught this, but it says this. It says, "The thorn was there to keep me from becoming proud." This thorn in his flesh was there to keep him from becoming proud. See, the crazy thing about Paul is he had a thorn in his flesh, but he also knew that that was there for a purpose. And the purpose was that he would not become proud, that he would not become prideful. Let's continue in verse 8, and let's see how God responds to this thorn in his flesh, and then see how Paul responds to what God says. It says, "Three times I begged the Lord to take it away." Man, isn't that us so often? We just have something in our lives, and we just say, "God, just if you would just take it away, life would be so much better. If you just showed up in this way that I want you to, life would be so much better." But he doesn't, because this is what it says in verse 9. "Each time he said," meaning God, "he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Then what is Paul's response? "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses." So for what purpose? So that the power of Christ can work through me. "That is why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the troubles that I suffer for Christ." Listen to this. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." See, Paul had a frame of reference that goes against everything that we believe in our society. It's almost as if we've been conditioned by our culture to have it all together, to put on a brave face, to never let people see us sweat. And whatever you do, no matter what, never show weakness. Never show weakness. The truth is that's not how God works. And I truly believe that every single one of us in this room and those listening to this sermon, we want God to work in our lives. I don't think there'd be a single person like, "No, I'm good. We're good. I'm okay with where I'm at right now." No, we want God to work in our lives. But think about this. We want God's power to work in our lives, but we don't want it to be done in our weakness. Why? Because we want to be in control. We want to be strong. We want to be the one that everyone looks to for strength. Men, we have a really hard time with this. We think that holding it together for our family is strength, but sometimes our family just need to see us cry. They definitely need to see us cry out to God. See, the thing is in God's frame of reference, our weakness is strength. Because when we're weak, we have nothing to cling on to but God. And our strength can very easy become pride. It says, when we view discouragement in our lives as trials that are there for a purpose, everything changes. When you say, you know what, I'm not going to view this trial, I'm not going to become angry, I'm not going to become upset, because I know that God has put this here in my place for a reason. There's a purpose here. See, we're the ones that choose to be discouraged when trials come. We're the ones that get upset when things come our way and say, why, God, did you do this? Why did you do this to me? Our response should be, thank you, God, for doing this to me. Because now I can trust in you more. We respond that way because we don't have a proper frame of reference. See, in contrast, Paul boasted about his weaknesses. He was thankful for his weaknesses because he knew that they were there for a reason. The thorn in his flesh was sent by God as a trial or as a discouragement, whatever you want to call it, for one specific reason, so that Paul would trust God more than his own strength. And that trial was there, that discouragement was there to increase his ministry. See, we want to avoid pain. We want to avoid discouragement. We want to go whatever way around it that we can possibly do to avoid it, but God wants to use it. So the question we're left with is, how do we develop this frame of reference? How do we look at discouragement as something positive in our lives? I want you to turn with me to James chapter 1, because I believe there we'll find our answer. We're going to start in verse 2. It says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." And that word troubles in some translations is trials, so we're going to use those interchangeably. So when troubles come our way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For what purpose? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has the chance to grow. These words are opportunity and chance. It's something that we have this almost a little bit of control over to view them correctly. And then this is what it says in 4. So let it grow. Let the trials come so my faith can grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. Another way of reading that would be, let the trials come so that my faith and trust in God can grow. So that I get to a place where I throw my hands up and say, God, you are completely in control of everything in my life. I have no control anyway. I trust you. I don't get it, but I trust you. It's hard, but you're bigger than this. Trials are there for a purpose, because developing a proper frame of reference on discouragement, it starts with viewing everything that happens to us, good, bad, or indifferent, as purposeful. Let me look at this again. It doesn't say if trials come. It doesn't say, dear brothers and sisters, if trials happen to come your way, possibly, maybe, then you can trust me. No, it said when. It said when trials come. And it also said when trials come, just be angry about it. No, he said consider it an opportunity for great joy. See, the thing is that trials are a promise in the life of the Christ follower. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Our lives are going to be hard. But just how trials are a promise, they're also a process. They're also a process. And the process is meant to test our faith, to get us to a place where we completely trust in him no matter what. That word endurance, it's this thing like a runner, which I'm not. You run, you build endurance, and you can do what? Run faster, run further. It's the same way with our faith. Our faith has to be worked out sometimes. Our faith has to be trusted. Okay, God, I don't trust you in this area. Okay, yes. Wow, now I've built endurance, and I know that God can be trusted. That's how it works, and that's why trials are sent our way. The thing is that it's not going to happen overnight. It's like I've made this one choice to decide to follow Christ, and now everything is going to be great. No, it's a process. It's a process, and it's going to be hard. And there are going to be times where we give in to the frustration. There are going to be times when we buckle under the pressure of discouragement, and we're going to raise our hands and just scream at God and be upset. It's going to happen. So what do we do in that moment? James gives us the answer in James 1:5. Says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. So what do we do when we're weak, when we're giving into discouragement? What do we do when life doesn't make sense and things are hard and things aren't going the way that we want, and we're just so frustrated and so angry? What do? We simply stop everything. We stop trying to control the situation. We stop trying to do whatever we're doing now to manage our pain or our frustration. We say, God, I need you. And we pray to him and we say, God, I need your wisdom. Will you show me the reason that this pain is here? Will you show me the purpose of this trial? You were trying to teach me something that I'm too hard-headed to understand. Will you show me? Because I don't get it. Just stop everything and pray. Stop everything and pray. Because the truth is that's the way that God works. So when faced with adversity, we have a choice to make. Will we view the trial as a moment to be discouraged and upset and angry and frustrated with God? Or will we view the discouragement as a trial sent by God to teach us something and to grow us? Will we view the trial as evidence of the Lord at work in our lives? I said this in the first service. If your life is great right now and you have no trials and no troubles and no tribulations, one of two things are coming. Either it's coming tomorrow and you better be ready, or God is not at work in your life. Because trials are a promise in the life of the Christ follower. And the evidence of God being at work in our lives is pain and heartache and frustration. Like, that just doesn't sound very fun, Jeff. Yeah, it's the life of the Christ follower. We're the ones that got it in our minds that it's not supposed to be that way. As we come to a close this morning, I want to leave you all with three next step challenges that I hope will help us all develop a proper frame of reference on discouragement. First, you need to start with viewing everything that happens to you as an opportunity for spiritual growth. An opportunity for your spiritual growth. Because God has a purpose for everything happening to you right now. God has a plan for everything, good, bad, indifferent. It doesn't matter what it is, God has a plan. And for some of you in this room, you have a past that you've been trying to hide your whole life. You have a past that you're just not proud of, and you look back at that thing that just is an embarrassment to you, and you say, I have no idea how God could use that for his glory. If that's you this morning, I challenge you to come back next week, because that's exactly what we're talking about, because God has a purpose for that pain. God has a purpose for the thing that you're hiding, and he wants to use that for his glory. Nothing happens by chance. It's all part of his plan. Second, you need to stop avoiding your current discouragement and meet it head on. This is where we have to have that warriors-like mentality. Because we all have something going on in our lives right now that we're avoiding. Maybe it's too painful. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe we just want to avoid it and put it over there and hope that it'll go away. It's time to stop avoiding the pain. It's time to meet it head on, and it's time to give it to the Lord. Because God has a plan for that pain that you may never understand until you give it to him. He has a plan for the things going on in your life right now that are hard. And he has something he wants to teach you and show you. Stop being stubborn, Jeff, and give it to God. Give it to God. Lastly, we need to ask God, what are you trying to teach me in my current discouragement? We need to stop trying to control everything. Stop trying to avoid it. Stop trying to handle it on our own, hoping that it'll go away. Because there's a purpose for it and there's a plan for it. We need to come to the end of our ropes and say, God, I can do nothing else. And we stop everything and simply cry out to him and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your perspective. Say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What in my life are you keeping me from that I think that I want, but you're withholding from me because it's not good for me? Because that's what Paul dealt with. The thorn in his flesh was so that he wouldn't become prideful. There was a purpose for it. And lastly, we say, God, what is the purpose of this trial? What are you trying to do here? I just don't get it. And instead of saying, God, how dare you do this to me? We say, God, thank you for doing this for me, because now I have nothing else to cling on to but you. That's all we're supposed to cling to in the first place. I don't know what pain you're dealing with right now. I don't know what discouragements in y'all's lives. I don't know what struggle you're dealing with. But I do know that God is big enough to deal with all of it. God has a plan for all of it. He has a plan for every single one of you. Every pain, every heartache, every frustration, every sinful thing that you've done in the past, God wants to redeem it and use it for his glory. It's time to change our frame of reference on discouragement. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. God, I pray that we would all just stop right now, take a deep breath, God, and that you would reveal to us, God, the areas of our life that we're just discouraged and we're not trusting you in. God, we would stop trying to hide, stop trying to avoid it, and give it to you, God, because you have something so amazing ready for us right on the other side. You have something bigger than we could ever ask for, hope, or dream, that you're just waiting for us to trust you more. Give our pain, give our sin, give our failure to you, and watch you do amazing things for your glory. Let us not be prideful. Let us boast in our weaknesses and boast in trusting in you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Remember, guys, trials are a promise. Discouragement is a choice. Y'all have a great week.